And you're tuned to WBAI in New York, listener-sponsored radio. And WBAI.org on the World Wide Web, here in the middle of the FM dial at 99.5 FM. The time is 6:59. Normally, our next program would be Off the Hook this evening. It will be Cordwell's rebroadcast of Cordwell's Chronicles. I want to emphasize that at 8 o'clock, though, at 8 p.m. This evening, in 1 hour, here on WBAI, you will be hearing the Personal Computer Show live. They will be pitching live. The Personal Computer Show will be on live at 8 p.m. Please, please do stay tuned. Again, you are tuned to WBAI in New York. And here's Cardwell.
On WBAI 99.5 FM, I'm Earl Caldwell. This is the Caldwell Chronicle. We're going to make a sharp turn here. We have two premiums this afternoon. I had a chance to screen both of these. One was The Iron Wall, which we have been offering. That's a premium of $100, still called. You can get it. And the other one was Cancer, The Forbidden Cures. I've talked on the show about what happened. The most recent for me is my own family, my sister. She was out in the mountains of Pennsylvania taking care of the old family homestead, healthy as a horse. She called me one day and said that she had gone to the doctors and they found a tumor in her stomach. I went right out. The doctor said she'll be dead in 6 months. I'm looking at my sister and the doctor's saying she will be dead in 6 months. There's nothing we can do. Nothing nobody can do. I couldn't believe it. And I'm asking the doctor. The doctor says, my sister's sitting there, and he says she's the healthiest person I've ever seen to be dying of cancer. And then after all of this, nothing we can do. Dead in 6 months, they say to her, we want you to go down to Pittsburgh to a cancer center, to this hospital down there for operation. First place, I'm saying, why would you say you're on operation after you already said there's nothing you can do? She's dead in 6 months. Now you want to go. I didn't want her to go, but it was her life. And I know she was just hoping against hope. Maybe there's something. Maybe they'll be somehow be able to get rid of this tumor. Maybe some. She went to Pittsburgh. She had the operation. After that operation, she was never right again. She came back home. She couldn't get around. She never healed. When she got back home, when she's trying to heal from the operation, they said, we got to start chemotherapy. And again, I'm saying, why do you want to give her chemotherapy when you said there's nothing you can do? They gave her that chemotherapy until the day before she died. They gave her radiation. By the time she was 6 months after that original talk with the doctor, you were hoping for her that the suffering would be over, that she would die. When I saw this cancer, the forbidden cures, it was though they were talking to me. I could see these people that they're talking about and shows them in this film, in this DVD. The doctor's telling them there's nothing we can do, and they're going to these other places. And there is no chemotherapy and radiation and all of that. There are things that they can do. There are things that they can do. This is stunning. The forbidden cures is what they call them. Cancer is the only disease that has been defeated dozens of times without anyone knowing it. Why? Why is it that there are ways of dealing with cancer? Nobody knows it. Why? I do know this with my sister. They said, there's nothing that we can do. And after they said, there's nothing we can do, death is certain, they ran up this bill that was so huge. She had insurance. They ran up this big bill, though. Hospital, operation, chemotherapy, you're constantly going to the hospital, doctors, and they run up this huge bill. Nothing we can do. Michael G.
We're going to go to a clip from Cancer, The Forbidden Cures, right away, and we hope that you will support us, and we'll come back in just a few minutes, 212-209-2950.
20,000 people die of cancer every day. This translates to 8 million deaths every year, half a million of which are Americans. At the beginning of the last century, one person out of 20 would get cancer. In the 1940s, it was one out of every 16 people. In the 1970s, one person out of 10. Today, one person out of three gets cancer in the course of their life. Over 1 million Americans are diagnosed with a new cancer every year. All these people suddenly plunge into a dark tunnel that will dramatically change their life for many years to come. Faced with an apparently endless chain of medical tests, examinations, second opinions, medications, new tests, surgical operations, support therapies, and follow-up checks, they find themselves at the complete mercy of the disease. While in that tunnel, each patient feeds an immense medical apparatus that employs hundreds of thousands of people and generates millions and millions of dollars for the medical and pharmaceutical industries. From research laboratories to medical schools, from prevention clinics to worldwide drug sales. Today, the cancer medical apparatus is so large and expensive that it needs its patients in order to survive just as much as the patients need the apparatus.
Cancer is a big business, one of the biggest businesses. The typical cancer patient spends at least $50,000 to treat his or her disease. With 1 million new American cancer patients every year, that translates to $50 billion annually spent on cancer treatment in the United States.
But to modern oncology, cancer still remains a mystery. What a century ago were just wooden contraptions, able to lift only a few feet off the ground, today have become sophisticated jets, capable of reaching incredible heights at 3 times the speed of sound. What a century ago was the creaking sound of the telegraph over some rustling wires, today has become a global network of fiber optics where millions of people exchange information in all possible directions. What a century ago was still a relatively unknown planet. Today has been lit by day and night, and it has been explored to the extent that we can visit it in every longitude and latitude from the comfort of our home. The only thing that has not changed in the last 100 years is the apparent incapacity of medical science to understand and conquer a disease like cancer. Why? The official theory maintains that cancer is a problem that originates in the human cell.
Cancer is a group of over 100 diseases characterized by abnormal, uncontrolled cell growth.
Cancer is a sometimes fatal disease caused by the abnormal growth and division of cells. While normal cells have well-defined walls and nuclei, the uncontrolled growth in cancer cells causes the creation of abnormal, unstructured masses of tissue, known as neoplasms or tumors.
Most cancer-related deaths are due to metastasis, malignant cells that penetrate into the circulatory system and establish colonies in other parts of the body.
How and where the migrating cells stop is different for different cancer types. Once the tumor cells are no longer moving, they can begin the process of forming a new tumor by leaving the blood vessel and beginning to reproduce in the new location. If the new environment is suitable, the newly arrived cell will begin to grow and a new tumor will develop.
This official theory, also called molecular theory, is basically the same that was formulated more than 50 years ago.
I'm Earl Caldwell. This is the Caldwell Chronicle. We are just beginning to preview this special DVD, Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. Cures with an S. This isn't one specialist, two, three, four. This is a whole array of different successful, proven approaches with cancer. The doctor says there's nothing we can do. It's not true. There is another side of the story, and that's what we are going to offer you here on the Caldwell Chronicle. But we only have 50 minutes. We're going to try to give you a couple more glimpses into this. Our telephone number is 212-209-2950. We have this premium in hand. So if you haven't, you need to know this, because if it's not at your door, then if it's not in your family, there's someone you know. This cancer is overwhelming. You heard the statistics at the beginning of this broadcast. I mean, at the beginning of this, when we introduced this premium. So, if you want to get on board right now, thank you very much. Two calls are on the line. There are volunteers in place. We're gonna give you another quick glimpse into some more of this because it's so compelling. But the volunteers are in place right now, and they are ready to take your calls. 212-209-2950. We've got three calls on the line. We are ready for you. Let us hear from you. Michael G.
The takeover of the medical industry was accomplished by the takeover of the medical schools. Well, the people that we're talking about, Rockefeller and Carnegie in particular, came to the picture and said, we will put up money. They offered tremendous amounts of money to the schools that would agree to cooperate with them. The donors said to the schools, we're giving you all this money. Now, would it be too much to ask if we could put some of our people on your board of directors to see that our money is being spent wisely? Almost overnight, all of the major universities received large grants from these sources and also accepted one, two, or three of these people that I mentioned on their board of directors, and the schools literally were taken over by the financial interests that put up the money. Now, what happened as a result of that is that the schools did receive an infusion of money. They were able to build new buildings. They were able to add expensive equipment to their laboratories. They were able to hire top-notch teachers. But at the same time as doing that, they skewed the whole thing in the direction of pharmaceutical drugs. That was the efficiency in philanthropy. The doctors from that point forward in history would be taught pharmaceutical drugs. All of the great teaching institutions in America were captured by the pharmaceutical interests in this fashion. And it's amazing how little money it really took to do it.
Surgery became viable with anesthesia and infection control, and doctors advocated expensive radical operations. These in turn produced the need for a large, lucrative hospital system. Radium fever swept medicine. The price of radium rose 1,000% almost overnight. Another costly technological industry entered the hospital system. A drug industry grew out of the booming patent medicine business. The doctors changed educational standards and licensing regulations to exclude the empirics. Soon, only AMA-approved doctors could legally practice medicine. In a brief 20 years, the AMA came to dominate medical practice. Organized Medicine launched a media campaign to associate the empirics with quacks. The code word for competition was quackery.
So now the average doctor goes through school. He gets a great education. He has to be really smart to get through it. He learns all about drugs. He doesn't know too much about basic nutrition. I found that the average wife of these physicians knows more about nutrition than he does, but they sure know their drugs. And if you go to your typical doctor today, I don't care what it is, chances are you're going to walk out of there with a prescription. Why? Because that's what he has been trained to do.
The companies that make up the pharmaceutical industry are among the largest corporations in the world. Together, these businesses have come to be known as Big Pharma. In 2004, their combined global sales were over $500 billion, with Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson leading the pack. In the U.S., the core of Big Pharma's immense profits is from sales of prescription medication. And since these drugs can only be prescribed by medical professionals, most of the industry's promotional and marketing activities are directed at doctors, pharmacists, and other healthcare providers.
This starts out at the first day of medical school, and in many medical schools, even the incoming students that, you know, are 2 years away from seeing a patient will start to get gifts from the pharmaceutical industry. And as these students get farther along in their medical education, the interactions and the gifts escalate to free lunches, to dinners.
Champagne, brunches, happy hours, New York jet tickets, No matter where you spend the money, you make money. And my boss always told me, don't worry about it. There'll always be more funding. Spend what you can. In fact, if I give you $100,000 to spend, Gene, I want you to spend $200,000.
Before 1980, most clinical research was funded by the National Institutes of Health. During the 90s, most of that research got pulled out of universities and was brought to for-profit research organizations. The problem is that gave virtual complete control over the research to the drug companies. They could design the studies. They have control of the data, so that many of the authors of the most important articles published in our best journals aren't even allowed to see their own data. They don't get free access to their own data. And they have control over publication.
To sum it all up, the pharmaceutical industry first gained control of the teaching system. Then it gave the AMA the power to exclude all other doctors from practicing. Then it took over the entire drug testing process, while heavily influencing the medical publications that reviewed those drugs. And finally, Big Pharma extended its control over the federal entity that is supposed to verify those drugs' safety and efficacy. At the opposite end are the sick citizens, and in the middle are the doctors who must cure them based on information they can only get from the pharmaceutical industry, which can no longer be verified. Chemotherapy drugs are, in fact, among the most expensive of all. A one-month supply of erlotinib, a chemotherapy drug produced by Roche, costs $2,300. The same supply of sorafenib, Bayer's chemotherapy drug, costs $5,500. The monthly supply of sunitinib, a chemotherapy drug produced by Pfizer, cost almost $7,000.
The drug industry is the most successful global industry in the world. What they don't want you to do is get better, because if you get better, their market's gone.
The year 1922. Green Case first learned of a cancer remedy which she termed Essiac.
Unbeknownst to history, this fragile Canadian nurse has heroically managed to cure thousands of people from cancer with a simple concoction of herbs. While nursing an old patient, Renee noticed that she had a scar on her breast. The patient said it was left over from a cancer she had cured over 30 years before, using a mixture of herbs suggested by the medicine man from the local Ojibwe tribe. Renee tried the same formula on her aunt, who had recently been diagnosed with cancer.
I went down and I asked Dr. R.O. Fisher, who later was dean of the University of Toronto, if he would watch over her, if I would try some of these herbs. And he said he would, and it took quite a while, but she got better. And she lived for 21 years.
After that successful experience, Renee quit the hospital and began curing people with a mixture of herbs that would become known as Essiac, which is her last name, spelled backwards. Soon the voice spread, and the number of patients healed from cancer started to multiply.
In about 1943, I was diagnosed in Toronto General Hospital as having a growth in the bowel which was inoperable. And that was in January. And my husband was told that when the snow was gone, I would probably be gone with it. So through friends, I was directed to Miss Case. And I came to her and had treatments from her for practically 3 years and felt I was cured, and I've had no return of it since.
Dr. R.O. Bastida of Bracebridge sent me a patient, cancer of the bowel, Bert Rosen. And I cured him. So Dr. Bastida went before the town council and mayor and persuaded them to give me a building that they had taken for taxes as a clinic, that I had made a great discovery and that I should be supported in my own hometown. So they set up the clinic where I treated for 8.5 years.
In a few months, the clinic was fervent with activity, with patients flocking in from all different places.
Our clinic would be full every time we were there. And there were people came in, ambulances, who were not able to come in for a treatment. She would have to go out and administer the medicine out in the ambulance. Then as the time went on, we watched these people be able to walk in. And finally, they were driving their own car to get SCN.
I treated from 300 to 600 patients a week. And the only way they would allow me to do this was free of charge. And I had to have a doctor's diagnosis for every case I treated.
So we brought the diagnosis, the nurse case, and I took treatment from her every week for about a year. And I have no cancer today.
It was one Dr. Leonardo from Buffalo who had immediately recognized the potential of Renee's cancer cure to warn her of what was waiting ahead.
Dr. Leonardo, he was a cancer surgeon. And he said, "You think you have a cure for cancer?" I said, "I'm way beyond thinking, I know." Then I had 5 other doctors in the examining patients. And he asked if he could go in with them and examine patients, and I told him he could. So then he told me, he said, "You have it, but the medical profession will never let you do this to us."
After a while, a mysterious group of entrepreneurs showed up, offering Renee $1 million for the secret formula. But she flatly refused, as they would not guarantee that her cure would be made available for free to anyone who ever needed it.
Green Case was called before the legislature in 1938 to determine Essiac's legal status.
I was trying to legalize my treatment, and the patients went out and got this petition signed, 55,000 names on it. And I went before the legislature, and I lost out by 3 votes.
Public outcry forced the establishment of a cancer commission to investigate herbal remedies. The greatest majority of Reen's evidence was rejected.
You see, they said the doctors all made mistaken diagnosis, that's why the patients thought they were cured.
(212) 209-2950 is the number. We don't have to tell you why it's important to call. I'm losing track of the number because I'm so excited. As I said, we had two DVDs, two specials this Friday, and both of them are so exciting. This one is just getting into this, but the cures are there. There are cures. They have cracked the mystery of cancer, but there is this medical power that dominates and says no to this, no to that. This is not one. This is that. You just heard the story there of this woman. But there are many stories in this DVD, Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. 212-209-2950. We don't have a lot of time. I hope we can give you another glimpse into this. But what I'm saying to you is this. This is something you need to know. This is something you need to put into your body of knowledge. This cancer is growing. It is becoming such a huge thing in our society. You heard at the beginning of the DVD, the figures are overwhelming. And so there are things you need to know. I'm not trying to play doctor. I'm not telling you don't take any words from your doctor. I'm saying get your information. Be prepared. And we have the DVD here that allows you to widen your knowledge. to get more solid information. This is Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. This is our second package from this Friday afternoon. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 calls on the line. We are going to take 12 calls right now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So let us hear from you now. 212-209-2950. The volunteers are in place. Michael, everything is ready for these for them to take this now.
Absolutely. They're ready. Volunteers, as you said, are in place. We're waiting for your calls to come in right now at 212-209-2950. Remember, you can pledge using Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. But do what you can to support WBAI, support this radio station, and support this program. And as Earl says, throughout these fundraising drives, ask them to indicate that you're listening to the Caldwell Chronicle on WBAI. 212-209-2950.
212-209-2950 is the number to call, folks. And Earl, as I said to you earlier, we got to raise $4,000 in this hour. We got to do that for real this hour. 212-209-2950. This is a $100 pledge for this DVD, Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. Folks, it's over 2.5 hours. It ain't just one cure. It ain't just two. It's cures that have been found over these, but we don't just see that. We see the intentional suppression of these cures, of these technologies that have fought this disease back. Some of them natural, like herbal remedies that you heard. Some of them medical. But they are here in this DVD, folks. Take a look at it, 212-209-2950. Earl, now you asked for 12 calls. We ain't got but five of them on the line. That means we got to get 7 more people to make that phone call.
They're coming right now. They're coming right now, 212-209-2950. I know on this that you need this information, and I know how it is suppressed. I spent a lifetime in the media. I know about this information that is not allowed to go out into your homes. The people who ought to be able to get this information, you're the ones that hide it from. So here it is. And just as Tony said, this is not one person's story, two, three. This is a series here. We've got all of them on this, a two-hour DVD, this is a unique premium we have to offer this afternoon. Let us have your gift of $100 and let us send you to it straight away. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We only have 5 calls. The board ought to be jammed. The board ought to be jammed. Let us hear from you. 212-209-2950.
The other matter, too, Earl, that we must consider, like you said about your sister, they said to her, there's nothing we can do, but the next thing they got is an operation for her. Now, what happens at the end of your life, and this is what happens when they try to get as much out of you, it is as vultures.
Yes.
It's disturbing.
Yes.
It's disgusting. We can't do nothing for you, but let us cut you up. And people that feel vulnerable, Earl, who feel like they don't have a choice, they fall for this.
Yes.
It's coming from a doctor who we've been taught our whole lives is an authority, and who we should listen to. Well, guess what? They don't study nutrition that well. I mean, they're getting better at it, but there are other ways to approach this, folks, and they are not always medical, and it's not always an incision into your body. Your body has a natural health that it can access when it's given certain tools, and that's what we're talking about. And that's just one of the ways we're looking at it. 212-209-2950. Earl, we are now 4 callers away from getting to that 12.
We got 5 on the line. We're trying to get this. We're trying to get this block filled up and get this so we can give you another big one more. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
3 more people. 3 more people.
If we get this one good, finish out this block, we can give you another good look in, listen in on this before we close out. We only got a half hour left. We don't even have a half hour. We have 25 minutes. Time is short. Let us hear from you. We've got extra volunteers. They are in place right now. They can handle the calls. There is no wait. There is no wait. And now is the time. 212-209-2950.
There are 5 calls on the line now for WBAI and for the Caldwell Chronicle. Let's hear from you now as we go forward. We're going to play another clip. We're going to another clip in just a moment, but we do need to hear from you. If you've been sitting back and deciding whether or not you are going to pledge, well, we're asking you to step forward right now and put forward for a pledge of $100. It's tax deductible. We'll send you this DVD, Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. Now, we all know people who have gotten sick, some people who have actually actually rebounded, are in, their cancer is in remission now for a number of reasons. We're asking you to take a look at this forbidden cure, some of the things that you may not have heard about, that you may not know about, and decide for yourself. 212-209-2950. What you're doing is you're helping to sustain this commercial-free, listener-sponsored radio station. 212-209-2950. You can put that on Visa, MasterCard, or American Express. And we thank you so very, very much for these calls of support coming in. But you know what? We know that for every 4-8 calls that are coming in, we know there are at least 8 more of you out there that have not picked up that phone, who have not dialed the numbers, who are not financially supporting this radio station. And this is the radio station that you listen to, that you have throughout your house, that when you go out and get in your car, you tune into WBAI. So we're asking you to support us now at whatever level is comfortable for you, but certainly for a pledge of $100, we will send you Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. You're supporting the Caldwell Chronicle. You're supporting WBAI.
We have one incredible story on. It's coming up here, and we're going to give you a little bit. It's a very wealthy man, and he took on the medical establishment in this country. You listen to what he did. He had an idea. He had this proof. He had the wherewithal to fight the medical establishment. This is the story of a man named Horsley. And you got to listen to it. 212-209-2950. This is listener supported. And when the listeners step up, we can't do nothing but move in the right direction. We're going to go back to another clip from this special, our second premium this Friday, Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. If you still want to get the Iron Wall, you just tell them. You can get both. This is yours for a premium of $100. We're going back to give you another brief look in. But this is awesome.
But a new cancer treatment needs more than personal investigations to gain acceptance. It needs a formal scientific review.
And when I say to you, all I want is to have them come here, the American Medical Association, the Pure Food and Drug, the federal government, anybody, come here and make an investigation. And if I don't prove to them beyond any question of a doubt that our treatment is superior to radium X-ray and surgery, then I will lock the doors of this institution forever.
But the medical profession did not respond to his call.
The doctors claim that they already knew from their medical education that his remedies were had no efficaciousness at all, was no cure. They were just sot in their ways and adamant in their beliefs.
According to Hoxie, there was a more sinister reason the medical profession wouldn't investigate. Hoxie said the AMA doctors invited him to demonstrate the treatment. Among them was Dr. Morris Fishbein, editor of the influential AMA journal. According to Hoxie, the day after his successful demonstration, a high AMA official asked to buy the rights to the formulas. The alleged offer would have given all rights to a group of doctors, including Dr. Fishbein.
Just like Renee, Hoxley turned down the offer because he could not get the guarantee that the formula would have been made available for free to anyone who ever needed it.
But one thing was certain. Hoxie had made a very powerful enemy. By crossing swords with Dr. Fishbein, he alienated the most influential figure in medicine. Dr. Fishbein held a unique position. As journal editor, he controlled the main income-producing organ of the AMA and thus the organization. He also published the accepted standards of medical practice. After the Chicago incident, Dr. Fishbein blackballed Hoxie by branding him a quack in the journal. It commented that Hoxie's most enthusiastic supporter was the local undertaker. The AMA attack was relentless. Dr. Fishbein and Hoxie would battle each other for 25 years to come in a drama of national dimensions. But rather than settling the dispute through scientific means, they played it out in the media.
At the association's headquarters in Chicago, vigilant against quackery is Dr. Morris Fishbein.
There is no serum, drug, or combination of drugs that we know that will definitely cure cancer.
When Hoxie approached the National Cancer Institute for an investigation, the agency refused. The NCI said his medical records were incomplete. Hoxie said doctors refused to supply necessary records because of Dr. Fishbein's influence. The government concluded it would be a waste of public funds to investigate. Having struck oil in Texas, Hoxie offered to pay for a test himself. His challenges were putting Dr. Fishbein under public pressure, and the doctor fought back hard in the public arena. But when he wrote Blood Money for the Hearst Sunday papers, he went too far. Hoxie sued Dr. Fishbein and the Hearst newspaper empire for libel and slander. He didn't seem to stand a chance. The nation's most notorious quack faced a who's who of American medicine. Surprisingly, Harry Hoxie became the first man ever to win a judgment against Dr. Fishbein and the AMA. Dr. Fishbein had to resign from his post at the AMA. But the Hoxie-Fishbein trials held an even more shocking revelation. Dr. Fishbein admitted in court that Hoxie's supposedly brutal pastes actually did cure external cancers. The most dangerous external cancer is melanoma. It can spread rapidly through the body. Doctors advise extremely radical surgery. Even so, melanoma is often fatal.
We have more positive, proven cases of melanoma in our records and our files and the patients to talk to that have been cured in this institution than any institution in the world, and that's a broad statement, but we have the facts to back it up.
Hoxie went as far as producing his own movie to make his voice heard from the medical profession.
It would be an innovation to men of the medical profession if, instead of devoting so much time and money to court trials, sniping tactics, and smear campaigns, they would come to the clinic, do some investigating, check into our methods, speak to some of our patients. Then they would understand why our treatment has been as effective and, in most cases, far more successful than anything they've had to offer as a solution to the cancer problems.
But instead of accepting the invitation, the medical establishment escalated the war. Mildred Nelson has directed Hoxie's clinics from the beginning.
But he was never investigated except in a criminal type of a way to see what he might be doing wrong.
The food and drug have always been famous for harassing the Hoxie patients.
Go to people's houses, take their medicine when it was delivered to them, talk to them, tell them they were doing wrong.
But when the government couldn't stop Hoxie in court, the FDA decided to take unprecedented action.
Sufferers from cancer, their families, physicians, and all concerned with the care of cancer patients are hereby advised and warned that the so-called Hoxie treatment for internal cancer has been found on the basis of evidence presented by the FDA to be worthless treatment. And it was so successful that the FDA then went ahead and issued it in a poster form, which was put up in post offices around the country.
I'm swimming in blood now. They've done everything they possibly can to try to humiliate me. They've had me in court many, many times. But do I care about that? I'm not thinking about what they're doing to me. I'm thinking about the 12,000 patients who's under treatment observation here at this clinic. I'm only thinking of one thing, suffering humanity.
But the government did more than just warn the public. Although federal prosecutors couldn't prove the treatment was worthless, they did outlaw it on technicalities like false labeling in interstate commerce.
At one time, we had 17 clinics open across the country. Food and Drug walked in the same day to every one of them and padlocked them. And no way did Harry have the money to fight that in court, state by state.
After losing all his clinics, Harry Hoxie eventually gave up his 25-year-long fight against the medical establishment. He built a new clinic in Mexico, put Mildred Nelson in charge, and went back to Texas, where he died in 1974. The Mexican clinic has been treating thousands of patients over the years and is still active today under different doctors after Mildred Nelson passed away. But the Hoxie treatment has never been made available to American patients, and it cannot even be shipped legally into the country. Those who wish to use the Hoxie treatment must travel each time to Mexico and are allowed to bring back only the amount needed for their personal use. Very similar to Renee's story is the one of Harry Hoxie, a Texas businessman whose father had passed on to him an herbal formula that would reveal highly effective against cancer. Unlike Renee, however, Hoxie was very wealthy and was a natural-born fighter who feared no one. This set the premise for one of the most prolonged and virulent fights between an American citizen and the medical authorities in the history of the United States.
The trouble began with what seemed like good news.
And we now have in our files and our records many, many thousands of case histories and records, pathological proof, x-ray photographic studies that we do positively cure cancer, both internal and external. I give you names, times, dates, names of doctors, names of institutions.
The doctors labeled Hoxie the worst cancer quack of the century. But Hoxie's supporters called him an effective healer, persecuted by a medical trust.
But up to now, they have never proven that this treatment don't cure cancer.
The ex-coal miner with an eighth grade education became a legend in his own time. According to the Hoxie legend, the remedies were discovered by his great-grandfather experimenting on a sick horse. As the story goes, John Hoxie was a veterinarian whose prized stallion got cancer. He put it out to pasture to die. But 3 weeks later, the tumor had stabilized. He observed the horse eating unusual plants, not part of its normal diet. Within a year, the horse was well. So John Hoxie began to experiment on animals with the herbs, and he added other popular home remedies. He claimed success and passed the formulas down through the family, who eventually used them on people. Hoxie said his father was the first to try the medicines on people. He gave young Harry the formulas with a deathbed wish to make the treatment available to people whether or not they could pay. Prophetically, he warned the boy against the high priests of medicine who would fight him jealously. It didn't take long. Hoxie started his first clinic in Illinois in 1924, and he immediately incurred the wrath of organized medicine. He was arrested more times than any other man in medical history. Yet by the 1950s, the Hoxie Clinic of Dallas, Texas was the largest privately owned cancer center in the world. Hoxie clinics reached through 17 states. Endorsing the treatment were senators, judges, and even some doctors. Two federal courts upheld its therapeutic value. If the treatment was worthless, how did it gain so much support? To claim a cure for cancer is to invite evaluation. While the medical profession turned its back on Hoxie, numerous individuals did make personal investigations. These experiences repeatedly turned skeptics into believers. Among them was Esquire magazine writer James Wakefield Burke, who in 1939 began covering the Hoxie story.
My boss, Arnold Gingrich, one day said, "Why don't you go down to Texas and let's expose this fellow? He's getting too big. And the American Medical Association liked to put him out of business," and said, "You go down and get acquainted with him," and says, "We'll do a couple of pieces on him and put an end to this." So it was an assignment. I came to Texas. I expected to stay about a day, get my information, and leave. I became fascinated. I stayed for 6 weeks. Every day, Harry would pick me up, bring me to the clinic. We'd come in the morning, and he would put his arm around these old men and women, say, "Dad, them doctors been cutting you up. Says, I ain't gonna let them sons of bitches kill you. You're gonna live." And he'd treat them, and I'd watch him treat them. They'd get better and begin to get well. So I wrote an outline for a piece which I called "The Quack Who Cured Cancer." And I sent it back to the editors, but it never came out.
Assistant District Attorney Al Templeton was more than a skeptic. He arrested Hoxie more than 100 times in 2 years. Then his own brother, Mike, got terminal cancer and secretly went to Hoxie. When Mike Templeton got well, Al Templeton gave Hoxie the credit. Hoxie's prosecutor became his lawyer. More and more people...
212-209-2950 is the number. We don't have to tell you why it's important to call. We don't have to tell you why it's as special, why this is a glimpse into some area where you never get a glimpse, some solid information where you never get any. How many times, when have you ever heard about these cases? When have you ever heard about these alternatives to chemotherapy and operations and radiations and all of these things that run up these big bills? And they will say to you, the treatment was successful. The patient died. There are other ways to go.
What the hell does that mean?
Yeah, isn't that something? The treatment was successful. The patient died. Our number's 212-209-2950. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 calls on the line. We've got room. We've got volunteers to accommodate all of your calls. We've got 7 more minutes to go. Let's see what we can do in those 7 minutes. If we haven't heard from you, let us hear from you now. You can also still get the Iron Wall. That's available. If you want to get them all in the package, you just tell them you want both of them. That's $100. Your gift of $100, we send you Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. If you listen to this, you can see this great scheme that's going on. If you start talking about nutrition, herbal treatments, all of these other...
Quack.
Quack. And the medical establishment comes down on you. And it's not that they come down on you, they forbid it. They won't let it go. They have these people that are saying, but Hoxie beat them, didn't he? Fishburne had to come and admit that the cure was for external cancers was solid. This is all in the record. These are things that they don't let you know. 212-209-2950. Thank you very much. The phone is ringing now. Keep it ringing. We've got 5 calls on the line. We've got room for 10 more.
Earl, I think if a cure is like a quack, it's a doctor. I'm just saying. 212-209-2950. Yes. If it cures like a quack, it's a doctor, folks. 212-209-2950. That's the phone number to call right now. We got about 10 minutes left up in here, and we still have to raise about another $2,000. That means we need to get another about 20 callers. We got 5 of them now. We need to get 15, or we got get, 5 of them
we,
on there.
We can. Let's get these. There's one of them. There's one. 19 to go.
We got
to
get 15 more people in here, folks.
We can do it. 212. We can do it.
212-209-2950. Don't forget, it's just a pledge of $100. This film is over 2.5 hours long. It is called The Forbidden Cures for Cancer. It looks at treatment after treatment after treatment. But what do these treatments have in common? A couple of things. Number one, you haven't heard of them. Number two,
yes,
the AMA has suppressed them.
Yes.
Ask yourself, folks, why is it that we're offered 3 cures? We are offered chemotherapy.
Yes.
We are offered radiation, and we are offered incision, the cutting
yes.
up of your body. Is there nothing else available? Is there no other avenue to go? Why do they offer? And then their own statistics show that these rarely work. Chemotherapy actually helps 1 in 20 people. 1 in 20. And yet they are prescribing it left and right. People are going bankrupt in this country right now, tonight, folks. Not last week, not tomorrow. Right now, tonight, people are going bankrupt from these medical treatments. It is the number one cause of bankruptcy in this country. But they keep giving them to us. Don't go for the okey-doke. Get information that they don't want you to have. 212-209-2950. A pledge of $100. The Forbidden Cures for Cancer.
On this DVD, A Short History on Maximilian Garrison, the first doctor to suggest that health depended on nutrition. After suffering from severe migraines and headaches, he was able to get rid of them by eating on certain fruits and vegetables, and word began to spread. Then it transpired that his dietary treatment not only cured migraines, but also certain diseases, including cancer. A news anchor mentioned it on the news that there was a cure for cancer. He was later fired after working there for 30 years. Fired for passing that word that has us here, talking about the forbidden cures. You must see and have this DVD. 212-209-2950. We've got half of those calls. We can get the other half. Michael G's coming back. He had to take a break, but he's back for the last 3 minutes. Welcome back, Michael G.
Thank you, Earl. 212-209-2950. Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. That's available for the pledge of $100. You're contributing to WBAI. You're helping sustain this radio station that has the wherewithal to bring these broadcasts to you without commercial interruption, corporation free. We have been this way for 50 years. A community radio station. We bring you these things in hopes that you will support the regular broadcast that we do, and that when we are not fundraising, we're just doing the programming. And that's why you tune to WBAI in and of itself, for the programming. We have to do this because we don't take any commercials on this radio station. And people are calling. People are responding now. There was, you know, talk of, well, the folks are not responding. They are responding. I knew they would respond and take us over that imaginary gold. 212-209-2950. The iron wall, that is available still. We're going to make that available right up to the top of the hour, right up to the news hour. But right now, we're offering Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. It's available. And we thank you so very much for those calls of support that are coming in right now. We have 378 calls on the line now. We have a room full of volunteers standing by, folks that have come down to the station. Is somebody that I know personally in the tally room right now. We went to school together a long time ago. It's down here right now that I am going to be here. I am here for this radio station. That's why I'm here, because I believe in WBAI. It is so crucial that this radio station be here. I don't care where it is, whether it's here, whether it's uptown or downtown, it needs to be here. 212-209-2950, and that's why I'm here. I'm here because I'm going to support Gary Bird later on this evening. 212-209-2950. Thank you.
This Maximilian Cancer, Maximilian Garrison, who came up with that cure for cancer. He wrote a book with several cases, documenting several cases of his curing cancer. Nobody would publish it, and he was banned from publishing any works in America ever again. Now his daughter has opened a clinic in Mexico, much like Huxley. There is a testimonial from a woman who had only 3 months to live, but now completely cured. More than 20 years.
Had to leave the country to practice it, Earl. Yes. They're in Mexico. She had to go down to Mexico because they wouldn't let her practice here. His methods worked. They ran her out of the country. 212-209-2950. Earl, I do not see enough calls on that board. We got 5 minutes left, and yet we have open lines.
We've got
volunteers are waiting. It's your turn to do your part. Only a $100 pledge for this 2.5-hour movie, folks. The Forbidden Cures for Cancer. They're there. Why don't you get to hear about them? They're there. Why doesn't your doctor, you know, in some cases, your doctor literally doesn't know about them because he came up in that system that the AMA supports. It ain't that he don't want to give them to you. It ain't that he wouldn't provide them, because most doctors are good folks. They want to provide health for you. However, they've been trained in a system that does not support a holistic view. Look at the whole system. Looks at one thing, and they attack the symptom instead of the problem. You can make a difference. I mean, you might go to your doctor and say, what about this methodology after seeing this? What about this treatment? Is it available for me? You know how they tell you on them drug commercials that the side effects are always going to kill you and this and that, but ask your doctor first?
Yeah.
Take this to your doctor and ask them about that. Will this work? We only got 4 calls on the line, Earl. We got 4 minutes left.
One thing that you have to realize is on this DVD, is if for nothing else, just the way that it's documented on here, what this chemotherapy does to the body. And this is the first thing that you hear. Everybody you know that has cancer, they send them straight forward, first thing, chemotherapy. This documents what that does to the body. The body can take a lot. The body has its own curing mechanisms. But our established medicine will not give that a chance to operate. We've got It's a shame how many open lines we have with the little time we have left. 212-209-2950. We only got about 3 minutes. We only got about 3 minutes, and see if we can get the 20 calls to close out this Friday afternoon. 212-209-2950.
This is like we in Kansas or something. This can't be New York. Not with just three calls on the line.
No.
This can't be New York. I'm going to click my heels together and see if I can't. There's no place like 212-209-2950. Folks, we're out of here in 2 minutes. We got four, Earl. Let's get six more people on the line. That'll make it 10. That'll make an even 10. There's one of them. There's the first one. 212-209-2950. Five more of you getting on that phone. There's one more. There's one more. And we're talking about three more people.
Cancer, the forbidden cures. If nothing else, we have been able to make available to you these kinds of some things that you can't get anywhere else, but this is stuff that you need. If you're not in your family, you know a family. It's across the street. It's in your neighborhood. Okay, 3, 6, 7, 8 calls. Let's close it out with 20.
Can we do that?
212-209-2950.
They're going to have to call in the next 30 seconds.
11. We got 11. Let's go. We need 9 more. 9 more to close it out with 20.
212-209-2950. That's the lifeline to WBAI, folks. This can be a lifeline. Alternatives, look at it. Ask your doctor. 212-209-2950. Get us there, Earl.
Don't give up on us, folks. We've got the volunteers in place. Let's have this one big push. We got 60 seconds. 60 seconds. You know we can do a lot in that time. All it takes, dial that number. Volunteers are ready. Tell them you want the cancer cures. Your gift of $100. Put it on your credit card, Visa, MasterCard, American Express. And also, you can also get the Iron Wall. That is two, is available. Same thing, $100 premium, $100 gift. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. We got 4, 5, 8. Can we get to a dozen? We're in that last minute, 50 seconds. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
We got to wrap this up, or we got to get out of here.
We got to wrap it up.
Let's see if they'll come through.
On WBAI 99.5 FM, I'm Earl Caldwell. This is the Caldwell Chronicle. We're going to make a sharp turn here. We have two premiums this afternoon. I had a chance to screen both of these. One was the Iron Wall, which we have been offering. That's a premium of $100. Still called. You can get it. And the other one was Cancer, the Forbidden Cures. I talked on the show about what happened. The most recent for me is my own family, my sister. She was out in the mountains of Pennsylvania taking care of the old family homestead, healthy as a horse. She called me one day and said that she'd gone to the doctors and they found a tumor in her stomach. I went right out. The doctor said she'll be dead in 6 months. I'm looking at my sister and the doctor's saying she will be dead in 6 months. There's nothing we can do. Nothing nobody can do. I couldn't believe it. And I'm asking the doctor. The doctor says, my sister's sitting there, and he says she's the healthiest person I've ever seen to be dying of cancer. And then after all of this, nothing we can do. Dead in 6 months, they say to her, we want you to go down to Pittsburgh to a cancer center, to this hospital down there for operation. First place, I'm saying, why would you say you an operation after you already said there's nothing you can do? She's dead in 6 months. Now you want to go. I didn't want her to go, but it was her life. And I know she was just hoping against hope. Maybe there's something. Maybe they'll somehow be able to get rid of this tumor. Maybe some. She went to Pittsburgh. She had the operation. After that operation, she was never right again. She came back home. She couldn't get around. She never healed. When she got back home, when she's trying to heal from the operation, they said, we got to start chemotherapy. And again, I'm saying, why do you want to give her chemotherapy when you said there's nothing you can do? They gave her that chemotherapy until the day before she died. They gave her radiation. By the time she was 6 months after that original talk with the doctor, you were hoping for her that the suffering would be over, that she would die. When I saw this cancer, the forbidden cures. It was though they were talking to me. I could see these people that they're talking about and shows them in this film, in this DVD. The doctor's telling them there's nothing we can do, and they're going to these other places. And there is no chemotherapy and radiation and all of that. There are things that they can do. There are things that they can do. This is stunning. The forbidden cures is what they call them. Cancer is the only disease that has been defeated dozens of times without anyone knowing it. Why? Why is it that there are ways of dealing with cancer? Nobody knows it. Why? I do know this with my sister. They said, there's nothing that we can do. And after they said, there's nothing we can do, death is certain, they ran up this bill that was so huge. She had insurance. They ran up this big bill, though. Hospital, operation, chemotherapy, you're constantly going to the hospital, doctors, and they run up this huge bill. Nothing we can do. Michael G.
We're going to go to a clip from Cancer, The Forbidden Cures, right away, and we hope that you will support us, and we'll come back in just a few minutes. 212-209-2950.
20,000 people die of cancer every day.
Ooh, they sure do, and that is not a good thing. Not a good thing. Well, the numbers are, I know cigarette smoking is one of the big things I'm against, but that's another story because it is right now, it is 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. here, October the 6th, 2010. And you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM, also streaming on the web at WBAI.org. Don't forget, you can pick up the stream at PCRadioshow.org. Right now, it's time to start the personal computer shoe. Take it away, folks.
Good evening. This is Joe King, and welcome to the Personal Computer Show. Hank Key and I are here in the studio, and out on the left coast is David Perry, our left wing, left coaster. Hey, David, how you doing?
Joe, Hank, how you guys doing? I was out here at a big public-private partnership contest, a big conference at Intel Corporation, and we have a message for the world.
And that message is?
Stop. Think. Connect.
Stop.
Does it make any sense to you?
None whatsoever.
No, it makes That's sense great. To me. Stop what you're saying so I can connect.
Well, and think. You forgot about think.
Well, that's the problem. He wasn't
doesn't
thinking.
Do that.
He doesn't know how to think.
How you doing anyway?
I'm fantastic. I can't complain. The health is good. The weather's great. I leave L.A. It starts raining there, and it's sunny in San Francisco where I am. So.
Isn't it freezing cold there? It usually is.
No, it's pretty good right now.
So when are you going to move from Southern California to Northern California where the weather is
Never.
Perfect?
Never.
Hey, you know, you guys interrupted. You jumped in too fast. I said, this is Joe King, and with me in the studio is Hank Key. And then I said, on the left coast is David Perry. But the most important person standing or sitting behind the console with his engineer's headphones on is Stevie DeeB, who's got this breathing problem, as you can hear in the background.
Yeah, Darth Vader.
Thank you.
You know where he got this breathing problem from? He has a cat at home, and it's probably he's allergic to it.
Oh, I doubt that.
I doubt it, too.
A cat is in New Jersey, I think.
Yes.
So there you go. Stevie?
Yes?
Let me ask you a question.
Why, certainly.
Why does the company you used to work for, Verizon, advertise all over for a thing called Fios, F-I-O-S,
right,
when it's not available?
Because, they advertise on television, which goes everywhere.
No. I got it in the mail.
Oh, and you, it's not available to you?
I called up, and I said, that's a great deal. Okay, when can I take advantage of it?
Soon. The answer is soon.
We'll put you on the list.
On the list. See, you're on the list.
No, I called up, and I ordered it.
Uh-huh. Well, you got it out in Long Island.
Long Island. But I called up in Manhattan, and I ordered it. And they said, you can't order it. I said, yes, I can. And they said, what do you mean? I said, I saw it on television, and then I held off because I knew you didn't have air, and then I got in my bill.
But, Joe.
As a thing. In
you
my
got a bill.
Bill
for it.
No, I got it in my bill. It said I should call you up, and I could get Fios for $89.95 a month if I buy everything from you. So I'm buying everything from you because my bill's $140, and $89 is a lot cheaper.
Joe.
What?
Verizon's making up a little list. Remember that?
Yeah, you're on the list.
I'm on the list.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I have Fios.
Me
you
too.
Do. I have Fios on the island. I really like it.
It
I
is.
Like it a lot
it's
better
good.
Than cable. I really
but,
do.
You know, being unbiased, well, you know, the screen is crystal clear. And when I watch the TMC channel, the old black and whites, you really notice how clean.
Well, it's interesting. When I had it with cable, I have a very old set. And the set was so dark, you couldn't really watch it. And then I got the guys, and I was about to buy a new TV set, and the guys from Fios came in and installed it, and suddenly it was bright and clear. Yeah. And I told him that, and he said, the Fios has nothing to do with it.
It really doesn't.
He said the connection that he gave us is new and clean, and the other one was dirty and corroded. And yeah. I don't know. If I had been him, I would have said, well, that's because it's Fios. You know?
Yeah, the internet is fast also.
At any rate, that is my question for the night. Hank? Was there anything new this week that we should all be talking about? Well, I'll tell you what's new. And we haven't really done this for 3 or 4 days now. We're trying to get the folks out there to become members of the BAI family. Not going to talk too much about it for now, but let me just say quickly that if they call in to 212-209-2950, there's a couple of premiums we put together for them. One is the toolkit for a $75 pledge. One is the tech support gold card, which is unlimited priority tech support by email for one full year, unlimited as many personal questions as you might have.
But non-commercial, in other words, not for companies.
Not for your school, your company, your church, just for you, your whole family. We have a thing we call the password bypass disk, and that's if you forget what your password to get into the system is, or if you get an electronic glitch and you lose your password, we got a way of getting around that. And the last thing is, for anybody who pledges and becomes a member of the station with a minimum pledge or anything more than a minimum pledge, the minimum pledge being $25, if you pledge $25 or more and you give the folks your email address.
Or if you don't have an email address, give one that you can use that you can get it from that person.
Yeah, and give a neighbor's email address so that Hank can send you a white paper that he wrote on buying a computer, a one man's opinion, because Stevie and I don't agree with everything you're going to read in this opinion, but this is the way Hank does it, and this is what he does for hundreds of friends and family every year, and you might want to read it. It's about a 5 or 6 page paper that he wrote up. And of course, if you're a gold card member and you get this and you don't agree with anything that's in it, why, you're entitled to talk with him.
You know, Joe, we get an awful lot of email, people asking for, I want to buy a computer. Although we do get some calls on the air, but we do get a lot of mail asking about buying a computer. And in the time that, you know, you spend answering the mail, as you could see, I wrote 5-6 pages or single line. There's no way you can put that into an email. And so we always give some abbreviated answer. But this is a more comprehensive answer because I really go through it thoroughly with the different classes of computers.
Well, some of the questions that we get regarding buying a computer are pretty simple to answer because we've done it so many times. For example, we get very, very frequently a letter that somebody will say, look, I don't have a lot of money, and I saw this refurbished computer for sale. Should I buy it? And they give Hank the model number and the size and the memory, and it's a refurb. And Hank always answers the same thing.
Yes, and the answer is if it's a refurb, unless it's from the computer manufacturer, I wouldn't touch it because very often these refurbs are really shells with pull components from elsewhere. And I just don't trust any of them. If it comes directly from a manufacturer, at least you have some recourse.
By that, Hank means if it's an HP machine and you buy it from HP, there's some trust in it. If it's a Lenovo and you buy it from Lenovo. But if it's a HP machine and you buy it from Joe's computer.
ABC company, okay?
Right, the ABC company, Joe's Computer Remanufacturing Company on Coney Island Avenue, something like that. No, that did. But, you know, the whole market for computers is a confusing one for most people. One year I'll be reading and the top manufacturer is IBM, and the next year it's Dell, and the next year it's HP, and the next year it's somebody. What does that matter, Hank?
Well, the thing is, I have a bias, so I have to let people know about it, and that in my opinion, there are really three classes of computer manufacturers. Well, one is I call at the top tier, or the elite, where they are the fit and finish, the build, the innovation. They're in a class of their own. And then you have the mid-tier, which is good units. They're you don't expect too much innovation on it, but they build good units, solid units. And then what I call the bottom feeders, okay? And the bottom feeders is like you could buy it. It works. It doesn't always work the way you think it works. It doesn't always you know, you have this feeling like, yes, it works, but it's very plasticky. It doesn't really work the way I want. And as you know, Joe, you have one of these units where you had to change a keyboard in a very short period of time. So I call them bottom feeders, and the worst part,
which I think is a very unfortunate and unfair name, but that's Hank's opinion.
Well, that's my opinion, and with these systems, you could buy two models from the same manufacturer, the components may not be the same.
On the other hand, the keyboard that Hank pointed out just now that I bought and 60 days later I had to replace, when I got the replacement keyboard, it had the same model number, that factory number, factory manufacturer. You know, you can get these things. The point being, if you're buying a machine for budgetary reasons, don't expect that the cheapest machine is also going to be the best machine.
Right. And by the way, the cheapest machine right now are netbooks. And I, you know, if you're buying your first machine, I don't recommend that as really the very first machine, unless you have an absolute requirement for very long battery life and an absolute requirement where portability, like if you're a college student, you're carrying it.
Doesn't just
long.
Have to be a college student, because
no, but I'm just giving an example. If you're a college student, you're carrying that computer on the campus all day long.
Somebody came to me not too long ago and said that he's got almost an hour and a half commute by subway from work every day.
Well, that's a little different. If you like by subway, you could either put it between your legs or you could rest it on your lap. So you don't really have that weight.
No, he had the weight thing because he had to carry his books. He had to carry his work. He had to carry his attaché case. And I said, well, what are you really going to do with it? He said, well, when I'm not in the subway tunnel, I'm going to be on the internet. When I'm in the subway tunnel, I'm going to be reading the mail and answering letters that I got when I was not on the subway tunnel.
Well, you need something very portable then.
And he said, I want something light and something easy, but it's got to, you know, last me a few hours of battery life. And, you know, I know it when you do. I said, well, do you need a hard disk? Yes. Well, do you need an optical disk? He said, what's an optical disk?
Well, first of all, an optical drive, as what it's called, are really a CD reader or DVD reader and or burner. In other words, if you happen to have a CD disc, you want to play some music, or you have some software that's on a DVD or CD, you need an external unit as part of the repertoire.
Which you don't have to carry with you all the time.
Right.
So for him, one of these lightweight, small, long-life battery netbooks was absolutely perfect.
But Joe, I have to tell you, one of the those are the advantages of a netbook, but some of the disadvantages of a netbook, and like I happen to have one, actually I have two of them, and you learn to live with it because you need it in that kind of a user mode. But I find that the keyboard is, I have big hands, and I sometimes, in fact not sometimes, very often I'm hitting the wrong keys. I'm pressing the wrong buttons, and I find that the resolution imposed by Microsoft and Intel for the definition of a netbook at 1024 by 800 is really restrictive. I don't get the higher resolution. I have a tough time looking at that screen.
Well, I've had that complaint from other people, Hank, and as a matter of fact, my wife just can't stand my keyboard. She has a ThinkPad, which has a full keyboard, and she much prefers that.
Now, Joe, you know, like this imposition by Intel and Microsoft with a 10-inch screen called netbook, you know, there's another classification now where you can get equipment that is above that. Now, most people think, like, if you have an 11-inch screen, what's an inch more? It's a lot.
Well, a difference. Most people would think that the difference between a 10-inch screen and an 11-inch screen is 1/10.
No,
it's not true.
It's about 22% more surface area.
David, what do you have?
A lot of computers. I have lots of computers.
Let's talk about what you use all the time, not what you have in the lab.
My home desk computer has a 27-inch screen, and my laptop has a 14-inch screen.
What do you use as a laptop? What is your portable
computer? It's a Lenovo 14-inch. 610, 61A, 61P.
Okay. It's a T, model, right?
T60.
Yeah, T60. That came out 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And don't you also...
You know, it's about